So without any further ado, please welcome back to Unity of New York, Dr. Carmen Smith.
Okay, so let's get the dress out of the way. The train, okay, the train. Right? Every time I come, I have to up the game, right? Because last time I had a sparkly dress on. So when you do a talk about the face of God and internalizing the divine, you gotta dress the part, right?
Yes.
Good to see you guys. Yes, it's good to be here. Yay. Now, I have to tell you how I grew up. I grew up in the Methodist Church. It was AME. And so basically what they taught you was that God was everywhere, but they never said that God is inside of you. There was maybe a picture of an external God, maybe a God in the clouds. And you've seen that picture or rendition on the 16th chapel where God is in the clouds with a beard and he's barely almost touching man. That's a famous picture that was painted on the ceiling by the government at the time. It's a conspiracy. I think so. It's all about teaching you or brainwashing you to think that God is outside of you and that you have to call on that mercy, and somehow if you're good, you might get a blessing, and sometimes if you're bad, you don't. And we grow up with this crazy brainwashing. And it's not until you have this teaching of Unity or Ernest Holmes or some type of other Aboriginal or ancient teaching that tells you that the spirit is within you that you get out of that. But I'll tell you, I was stuck in that for a long time, and there are many people that are. But I want to tell you that there's another way of presenting and expressing to the world. It is more authentic. It is the truth. It is the way, and it is the life. And that is when we recognize that God is inside of us. What does that mean, Carmen? Well, I had an experience, not with ayahuasca, but, well, I have had that, but this was with the crystal beds. Now, if you know anything about John of God in Brazil, there are these crystal beds, and it's basically a bed or a massage table, and there are crystals that are vibrating at different frequencies of light, like the rainbow crystals, right? You lay down on that, and something is supposed to happen. Now, my friend had this bed, and she was charging $60 for 45 minutes, and I said, well, I'll give it a try. Who knows what's gonna happen? Now, they don't promise anything, and I was not ill in my body, so I wasn't asking for a healing. I said, just, yeah, give me some crystal bed, right? So I lay on the crystal bed for 45 minutes. I have this wonderful music going on. It was done. She came in, turned on the lights. She said, how was it? I thought, oh my God, I just wasted $60. I was like, nothing happened. I look in the mirror, I look the same. So I said, well, I'm helping out a friend, right? So I go to my car, and I'm thinking of all the positive spin that I can put on this $60, because I'm cheap. Okay. So I get to my car, I'm at a stoplight, I look over to the guy next to me and he's smoking. And I said, when did I start smoking? I said, when did I start, because I don't smoke. But I felt smoke in my mouth and that guy in the other car was smoking. That freaked me out. Because I honestly had to say to myself, I didn't realize I started smoking. Because I couldn't have a separation. I didn't have a separation between that guy and me. I said, whoa, wait a minute. That's weird. That lasted for about 2 weeks. I had this really strong feeling that I was connected to people that I didn't know. And I started to think, is that what they talk about when they say oneness? Is that what they mean when they say we're all light, we're all come from the same stuff, there's one mind, we're just in different space suits? Is that what they mean? So the next experience I had, I was on the freeway in Las Vegas. Now on the freeway, the speed limit is 65, but mostly you go about 80 or 75. Not me, of course. But anyway, there are five lanes. I'm in one of the lanes in the middle, and I'm driving about 75 or something like that. And I'm very calm, and I see this van, and I kind of felt that they were going to do something wonky. I kind of just had a sense. So I was a little bit alert. And so it came over into my lane going about 75 and barely missed my bumper, but I went over into the other lane and barely missed a car in that lane. And then we straightened ourselves up. So it was a very brief amount of seconds, but it could have been really frightening. But I was very, very calm through the whole thing. And when that other car corrected, I said to myself, I was confused. I wasn't talking about me, Carmen, in this meat suit. I was talking about the person that was driving the van in their meat suit. I was confused. Now, this person pulled ahead of me, the one that I cut off, started cussing at me verbally. You know, I couldn't see, but, you know, with the hands and everything, even the passenger. And I said to myself, I was afraid. And I'm continuing down the freeway, and I was both of those people. This is the oneness. I was calm, but I understood where everybody was coming from, and I moved along. Can you imagine what the world would be like? No matter what behavior people are presenting, you just know what, where it's coming from, and you're okay with it, and you just go with the flow, and you're like, I love you, you're confused, you're afraid, you're angry, blah, 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 love you. Could you imagine? I had that experience for 2 weeks, and I said to myself, what if I, can I perpetuate this through my everyday life? So I had it going to work. I had it all throughout my other reactions and relationships. Then something happened. I was working at the county. I'm a trauma specialist. I work for the court. And all of a sudden, I was getting this sense to quit, to retire. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked for a government agency, but you wait until you've got 30 years under your belt, because they call it golden handcuffs, because you're waiting for your retirement check. So I had 22 years. I had 7, 8 more years to work there. Why am I getting this message all of a sudden? Did I mention I'm cheap? Because that just scared me. Now, I wrote a book on how to get rid of fear, but I couldn't get rid of that. I was like, why are you asking me to quit my job? I like having a regular paycheck. What if something happens? I was coming from lack, limitation. Have you ever applied that to your work, to your job? That fear kicks in, and you can preach all you want about fear, but that fear just kicked me. I said, why do you want me to retire? I'm gonna have to have a better sign than this. All of a sudden, I'm at work, I get a phone call of my son, who was 23 at the time. He said, Dad just died. He's in the hospital, he's in the ER. They couldn't revive him. I said, stay right there. I'm on my way. My son, he was a mini-me to his dad, meaning that they were together all the time. They even look exactly alike, talk alike, have the same mannerisms, eat alike. So that's how close my son was to his dad. And he died suddenly of a heart attack, no warning. So my son, being the only living relative, had to become an adult, had to release the body from the hospital, take care of all the arrangements. This little boy who had taken everything on all of a sudden. And I could see that, and I could feel it. And he was handling it so well. The next day, I turned in my resignation. I quit my job because I knew that my son needed me, not when I got off work. I should tell you that I've been going to school and going to work for a very long time. So now I retire. I said, I get it. 2 weeks later, I felt in our house that there was a heaviness. He said, Mom, I'm okay. 4 weeks later, that heaviness turned into darkness, and I could feel it in the house. Because don't forget, I felt the same people on the freeway. So I could feel my son was going into a black hole. And I said to him one day, Hun, are you okay? And he said, yeah, Mom, I'm okay. I said, are you thinking about committing suicide? And he said, every day and every moment. And I knew that if I'm internalizing God, what does God feel about that? So I went into my room. Thank goodness we lived together, because that light and that vibration, that energy that I have within me was enveloping the house. And I said, God, talking to myself, I'm not talking to the clouds somewhere. I'm talking to myself. Carmen, what do you need right now? What does he need right now? And what I got was a clear picture. He doesn't like the feeling of the loss of his dad. He doesn't like how that feels. He doesn't like this grief. He doesn't like the world without his dad. He doesn't like himself right now. And so what I needed to do was gather up all that love energy, and I had to direct it towards him, because I had to love him past where he couldn't love himself. That means that there were some days where he didn't do exactly what I wanted him to do, because sometimes grief comes out as anger. Who needs to hear that? Sometimes grief comes out as anger, and it's directed at the people that are still alive. He wasn't the best son to me. But sometimes we're not the best people, and the God within us has to love that person past where they can't love themselves. So I'm telling you, I had to get all of the love, maybe that I never got outside from my parents or from my spouse. I don't know that kind of love. I'm talking about the love that God has that is unconditional. It's not based on behavior. I had to love him when it was the most difficult, because he was going through some stuff. He was going through some stuff. So this is why we internalize God. It's not to say the words. It's when it's the most difficult, and you show it to yourself, and then you vibrate it out to those who can't show it to themselves yet. And you won't see results for a while. Don't even expect results. You're just going to get frustrated. Just cultivate love no matter what. So I was doing it with my son. That was 2 years ago. He enrolled in school, he completed graduation, which was one of his dad's dreams for him. So he graduated in 2019, this year in May, with a degree in European history. He loves history and he loves Europe. He's never been. So I said, when you graduate, we're gonna go on a 3-week backpacking youth hostel train trip together. He was so excited, and he did a little planning, and he started doing his dad's bucket list. His dad wanted to do Monte Carlo, the Grand Prix, so he got tickets to the Grand Prix. His dad wanted to go to Venice, Italy, so that was on the itinerary. and his dad wanted to go to the Lamborghini factory. They were so into cars together. So that was on the list. So we're going throughout Europe, and I notice that he has a little bit of insecurity. How do I notice that? Because remember the cars that were on the freeway, and I could feel? So that superpower that I learned in the Methodist Church, that God is everywhere, God is in you, and you're aware of everything, including the person that you're with, but not just them, it's everybody else around them. So as we're going in the trip, I notice that there's a little wonkiness. And what does that mean? He's insecure. He's in an environment that he's never been in. He's a black man that's big. So now he's 25. He's about this high. Weighs about 275. He's a big man. He's my little boy. But he's a big man, and the world may not see him the way I see him. You see, my son has grown up to be a black man in the United States of America. So you talk about sometimes there's emotional abuse. You can turn on the news and see Michael Brown gunned down, and Michael Brown looks like my son. So that does something to the psyche. It puts you on edge a little bit. Makes you cautious, maybe not as friendly. My son is the sweetest, most loving person. So when I see him not friendly or cautious or guarding his heart, I say he's not fully being himself. That's what emotional abuse does. And that's what that stupid racism thing does. If you believe it. Because somebody can think something of you, and it's not until you believe what they think that it has power. So I saw that in him. We're in Prague, and we're walking, and you know I'm a unicorn, so I'm just dancing. There was a music festival going on. There's a music festival under the bridge. You walk a couple of steps, there's another band going on a few feet away. So I'm enjoying this kind of thing, and I'm embarrassing him, which is what moms do, especially unicorns. So I'm dancing, I'm free, I'm saying hi to everybody. We're having a fabulous time, but I noticed I was walking behind him, and I saw how people were looking at him, and then I would say hi to them, and then they'd break their gaze, or they'd break their stare, or whatever it was, because he was an anomaly walking in Prague in these places, because it's mostly Caucasian. So I noticed that he wasn't freely being himself. So one time we're at this band, and I go right into the crowd. And I'm dancing, and my son is on the outskirts like this. Wow. So I ask him to come sit down on a bench. We're sitting down there. And I just started doing some energy moves on his shoulders, just inches away from his energy. And then I just do it around his head. And I kept repeating, beautiful black man. And then I had to add some comedy. So I said, beautiful black man, strong like bull. Beautiful black. And then I would just, with my mind, say, you're beautiful. You're amazing. Ah, so wonderful. Have all the attributes of God. What was I doing? I wanted him to internally feel who he is through that vibration of love. Ah. So I'm doing that. All of a sudden, he starts relaxing. So I feel the full weight of him on me. What am I doing? Beautiful. getting him to believe in this moment of difficulty who he is. And once you know who you are, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. You are standing in your beauty. You're standing in the I am. So I needed to change that energy, that frequency. And so he started believing and feeling the frequency that I was giving him. So I'm vibrating with love, acceptance, joy, creativity. And he can't vibrate with something else when I'm enveloping him with that. That is what internalizing God can do. It can change the frequency, even though it may not match yours at first. This frequency is more powerful than hate. This frequency is more powerful than creativity. So after we had a treatment or a love fest with some laughter, he was able to go out and he started seeing the world differently. And when he saw the world differently, the world treated him differently. This is the power that we have when we change our frequency and not think that this racism is real. It is real if you believe it, and if you believe that that is how a person sees you, when they see you, they see God. Because that is what you're representing. That is what you're expressing. And so after that treatment, I was trying to verbalize what we had both experienced. And he said, and I don't want to get it wrong because I'm quoting my son here. He said, "Mom, you cannot love past that which you do not love within yourself. Mom, you cannot love past that which you do not love within yourself." So what my son began to realize is that he had to love the grief. He had to love the pain. He didn't have to hold on to it. He had to love his dad, the time that he had with him. He had to love the people that think that he's a criminal just based on the way he looks. He has to love that part of him that believed that he was a criminal, which gave other people power, which created fear within him. He had to love the people that will never understand him because he didn't understand what happened to his dad. Oh, I'm preaching here. You have to love past what you can't love within yourself sometimes. You have to love past that. And when you're stuck in fear and grief, how are you going to love somebody that's stuck in fear and grief? You can't do it. It's impossible. You'll be stuck in the fear and grief. You've got to love past that. And that is a veil that can be lifted, and it has to be lifted in this day, in this time. We affirm that. And you can only do that when you internalize God. I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no one can come to that higher level of consciousness until you love that within you first. Then when you see it in others, you see the face of God. Ah, namaste.
You cannot love within yourself. We now have the opportunity to change our frequency, to take this divine sacred sharing that Carmen just put into this field, and to remember the truth of who we are. Because you are the face of God. You are the face of God. These words are not in your bulletin, so I'm going to ask you to just keep your eyes open for right now and fully take in this experience, knowing that you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. In every face, because because every face is sacred. We are all reflections of God. God is not just a part of us. God is us. God is within each of us. We are each a part of God. You cannot love past that which you cannot love within yourself, but we must love ourselves so we might be love, loving each other. The light of God is reflected in the face of a child in his mother's arms. And as we notice the face of God reflected in front of us, with whoever stands in front of us, we see kindness. We see compassion. Even towards someone who has been labeled the enemy. No one is not the face of God. We are all made in that image and likeness. As we evolve into greater awareness of our spiritual nature, continually expressing more love, more light, more conscious choices to love past that we have not loved within ourselves. And as we love ourselves, we love those around us. And as we love those around us, we love ourselves. We change our frequency. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. As we go even deeper into the silence, we feel that shift of frequency magnify. You are the face of God. As I learn who I truly am, no matter what, I am enough. I embrace my Christ nature, the image, the very image of God that I am. I discover my true spiritual potential because I am the face of God. light. I am the way, the truth. I am the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are a part of me. You're the face of love. You are the face of love. I hold you. I hold you in my heart. You are my family. You are my family. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. Love and light. Hold you in my heart. You are my family. You are the face of God. You are my family. You are the face of God. And so it is.